Title: Project Cloning for Remix and VIP Workflows Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live workflow lesson for drum and bass, and we're talking about something that separates I Have an Idea from I Have Three Playable Versions by tonight. Project cloning for VIPs and remixes. Because in D&B, you rarely just make one version. You make the master, then you need a VIP with a different second drop, maybe a DJ-friendly intro, maybe a dubplate mix with extra sub, maybe a remix that keeps the vocal but rebuilds the entire drum and bass system. The goal today is simple. You're going to build a clone-ready project structure so you can do one action, branch a new version, and stay creative without breaking your original mix. Here's the core mindset. Your master set is the source of truth. Everything else is a branch. And we're going to set it up so the branches inherit the same routing, the same returns, the same sidechain, the same mix bus behavior, so when you compare versions you're hearing musical differences, not technical chaos. Let's build it. First, naming and versioning. This is non-negotiable. D&B iterations stack fast, and if your naming is sloppy, you'll waste hours opening the wrong file and fixing the wrong version. Name the project folder something consistent like artist, dash, track name, tempo like 140 or 174, and key in brackets. Inside that project, your Ableton sets should be named like track name master V12, track name VIP01 V01, track name remix 01 V01. Two things to notice. 1. Master is always clearly labeled. 2. VIP01 and remix 01 start at V01. Because there are new branches, even if your master is at V12, that keeps your brain clean. Now step 1. Prep the master so it's clone-friendly. Open the master project and do a hygiene pass. You're basically making your future self's life easy. Start by grouping your session into predictable buses. In drum and bass, a solid default is drums, bass, music, vocal or hook, effects. In Ableton, select related tracks, then Command or Control G to group. Teacher note here, this isn't just about organization. This is about consistency across versions. If your drums always live inside a drums group, your drum bus processing always stays intact when you branch. Same for bass. Same for hook. That's how you keep your identity stable while you experiment. Next, standardize routing inside groups. Most of the time, keep individual tracks routed to the group by default and put your bus processing on the group channel, not scattered across 12 individual tracks. That way, when you clone, your glue is already there. On the drums group, a strong stock chain looks like EQ8 first, high pass around 20 to 30 HC to kill rumble. If the drums are boxy, a small dip around 250 to 400. Then glue compressor, light. Think 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Attack around 3 ms, release auto or something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Then saturator with soft clip on. 1 to 4 dB of drive, and match the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Optional limiter at the end just to catch stray peaks, not to make it louder. On the bass group, similar concept. EQ for mod and harshness control, then your aggression device like saturator or roar if you're on live 12, then light glue compression just to hold resamples together. Now returns. Returns are the secret sauce for clone consistency. If your VIP suddenly has different space and different parallel crush behavior, it won't feel like the same universe. Set up a standard set of returns like A. Short verb, short room, under a second. B. Long verb, plate or hall, a couple seconds, mainly for vocals and atmos. C. Delay using echo, filtered, something like 1/8 or 1/4 dotted. D. Parallel crush. This is your make it rude return. E. Sidechain pump FX, a compressor keyed from your kick, for re-SEs or pads when you want that breathing movement. On the parallel crush return, a really usable stock chain is drum bus into glue compressor into EQ8. Drum bus for drive and crunch. Glue on a fastish attack and a firm ratio like 4 to 1. Then EQ to roll off low end so your parallel doesn't turn to soup. High pass somewhere around 80 to 150 depending on how heavy your low end is. Quick coaching note. Returns are not just effects. In D&B, they're part of your identity. The same parallel crush and the same short room reverb across versions is how your VIP still sounds like your tune, even if the bass is completely different. Next step, lock your sidechain system so clones don't break. This is huge. D&B depends on Pocket, and Pocket depends on stable sidechain. Create a dedicated track called a C-Kick. Make it a MIDI track, drop a clean kick sample into Simpler, and program your sidechain pattern. It can be 4 on the floor if that's your style, or more likely a DNB kick pattern like kick on the one with additional placements. Then make sure it doesn't play audibly. You can set it to sends only, or just pull the fader to minus infinity. The point is, it exists only as a key signal. Now on your bass group, put a compressor with sidechain enabled, and set the sidechain input to SC kick. Attack around 1 to 3 milliseconds, release somewhere like 80 to 120 milliseconds as a starting point at 174, ratio around 4 to 1, and set the threshold so you're ducking maybe 2 to 6 dB depending on how aggressive you want the breathing. Teacher warning. Once you build this, treat SC kick like it's sacred. Don't rename it casually, don't delete it, don't replace it with a different random kick track. If you do, all your clones start drifting and suddenly your groove changes between versions. Now, before we clone anything, collect all and save. File menu, collect all and save. Tick the boxes you need for samples, presets, whatever you've used. Why advanced producers do this? Because remixes and VIPs move between machines, drives, collaborators, and sessions. Missing samples kills momentum. Collecting makes the project bulletproof. Now we clone. Option A, and this is the recommended one most of the time, save live set as, inside the same project folder. Name a track, name VIP01V01. This keeps the same project assets and avoids duplicating audio everywhere. Clean and fast. Option B, full project duplicate in Finder or Explorer. Rename the whole folder. Use this when you need total separation, like you're sending it to a collaborator or you're archiving a do not touch snapshot. Alright, now let's talk VIP workflow. A VIP is usually your tune, but with a statement. Often the second drop is the illegal moment. The identity stays, but the impact changes. New mid bass, new edits, different call and response, halftime insert, something. First move, duplicate arrangement sections safely. Go to arrangement view. Identify your main blocks. Intro, build, drop 1, breakdown, drop 2, outro. Select the drop 1 section, for example bars 33 to 65, and duplicate it later in the timeline to become drop 2. Now you have the same structure, but you've created a safe playground. Drop 1 stays your original. Drop 2 becomes the VIP canvas. Coaching note, this is the fastest way to make a VIP that still mixes like the original. DJs love consistency. If your phrasing goes weird, your VIP might be cool, but it won't be playable. Next, swap bass design quickly using resampling lanes. Inside the bass group, create an audio track called Bass Resample Print. Set its audio from to the bass group, Post FX, arm it, and record 8 to 16 bars of your current bass drop. Now you've printed a stable version. For the VIP, duplicate your bass instrument tracks and go wild. New distortion stages, new filters, new movement. But you always have the printed audio to fall back on. That's the safety net that makes you fearless. Here's a practical bass chain idea for a dark roller vibe. Operator or wavy-able into auto filter with movement, into saturator with soft clip, into amp for bite, into EQ8 from mud and resonance control, then compressor sidechained from SC kick. Now VIP drums. This is where a lot of people overcomplicate. You don't have to replace the entire drum kit to make a VIP hit harder. Often it's micro edits. Try a ghost snare layer. A quiet snare hit a 16th note before the main snare. It adds urgency without changing the groove. Add tiny fill throws every 8 bars, maybe a crash, a reverse, a tom, something that feels intentional. And if you want controlled chaos, use beat repeat, but automate it only where you want it. Don't leave it running. A starting point, interval 1 bar, grid 16th or 32nd, chance 10 to 30%, gate around a 16th. Then automate the device on for the last bar before drop 2, and off immediately after. That's how you get hype without ruining the pocket. Now remix workflow. A remix is different. A remix usually keeps the recognizable elements, vocal hook, signature melody, maybe a stab, and rebuilds the drums and bass world around it. First move, freeze the identity elements. Take the tracks you must preserve, like the vocal hook or signature pad. Freeze them. And if you want commitment and CPU relief, flatten them. That locks the sound, prevents plug-in drift, and makes the whole remix feel stable. Then make a group called Stems Locked. Put the vocal audio, hook audio, and must keep FX hits in there. Color it something obnoxious like bright yellow, so you always know, this is the identity. Don't casually destroy it. Now rebuild drums. A classic DNB remix approach is break texture plus modern punch. On a break track, make sure warping is correct. If it's tonal, try Complex Pro. If you want transients crisp, try Beats Mode. EQ high pass around 80 to 120 so the kick and sub own the low end. Add drum bus for transient and drive. Gate if you need to tighten tails. Then send a bit to your parallel crush return. For modern tops like hats and shakers, add subtle stereo motion with auto pan. Keep it subtle, amount 10 to 25%, rate 1/8 or 1/16, phase around 90 to 120. The idea is width and movement without making the mix unstable on club systems. Then rebuild bass while keeping the hook's pocket. This is where that SC kick track pays off. Keep the sidechain system constant, and the groove translates. Start simple, a clean sub, sine wave, operator is perfect. Then a mid bass layer, maybe a resampled Reese or Neuro-ish layer. Manage them with EQ like a surgeon. Low pass the sub somewhere around 80 to 120, keep it mono with utility, and high pass the mid layer around 80 to 120 so it doesn't fight the sub. Pro detail that translates to clubs. On the bass group, put EQ8 in mid-side mode, and high pass the side channel somewhere around 120 to 250. That keeps the low end tight and mono while still letting your growl feel wide up top. Now, and be your master versus VIP or remix properly. Keep the same master chain across clones. Don't change the master processing between versions unless you have a very specific reason. A simple chain is fine. Tiny EQ corrections, light glue, limiter with a ceiling like minus 0.8 dB for safety while you listen. Then level match. Put a utility at the end and use the gain to match perceived loudness. If one version is 2 dB louder, your brain will pick it every time even if it's worse. Now let's add a few advanced coach moves that make cloning feel like a professional system. First, make cloning one action with a pre-flight checklist. Create a text note inside the project called Clone Checklist. Before you save as, do four quick things. Freeze anything CPU heavy that you're not redesigning, like pads or insane FX chains. Consolidate audio with lots of edits so warping stays predictable. Commit any external sidechain or key inputs if you use them, and export a dated master reference like master ref yimd. That's your safety tag. Second, track templates. In Live 11 or 12 you can save groups as track templates. Save your drums bus with routing and send defaults. This audio version is shortened for playback.